keep coming this often, we're going to start calling you family.
Good.
So to that end, I do, it's my privilege to both introduce Carl and then pray for him shortly. And then the kids, as I mentioned, the kids, this is your time. If you're in the Christmas play, please exit quietly to the back. Okay? Second through fifth grade. Second through fifth grade. So if you're in second through fifth grade, thank you. Appreciate you being here with us. We'll pray for your play coordinators here in a second. They'll need it. So let me pray for the play as well as, more importantly, for Carl here. Dear God, we thank you for plays and for stories. Stories that the Christmas story we look forward to hearing from our kids. Lord, we pray for Janice and the others. Lord, give them patience, give them clear thinking, give them clear instructions. Lord, help our kids to engage and listen and follow through. Lord, in the same way, give us those same hearts, Lord, as Carl shares your story from your word. Lord, help us to think clearly and receive those things. Help us to not just be listeners of the word, but be doers. Lord, we thank you for the opportunities we've had to serve in Moldova, Transnistria. And Lord, we thank you that we can hear from your word this morning. And Lord, you're going to move in our hearts in the same way you've already moved in Carl's. Your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Sure.
Well, it is good to be back with you again. And we had a great, great time with your team. They did a great job. We almost had an international incident when Joe, as Pharaoh, had stuff hurled at him and thrown at him. But he handled that well, and there was no real problem there. We had a great time. I want to say thank you for sending your team along, and thank you for joining up with Calvary on this trip. Thank you for the little snack bags you sent along with us. We got on the bus, we sat down, and they gave me a little bag. I'm like, what's this? It's food. And, you know, a guy like me gave me a bag of food. That's a good thing. So thank you very much. The team that you sent along did an outstanding job. You should be very proud of them. They represented the Lord well. They represented your church well, and they did a super job. And this morning, I've been asked to just preach a little bit from the Word of God, and I'd like to take us to a passage that is unusually linked to our experience in Transnistria and then the holiday season that we're in. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving, and I hope you're looking forward to a wonderful Christmas season coming up. But with the holidays, the focus can often be on ourselves, on our family. And for all the good of that, I don't want to minimize. It's wonderful to be together with family, and I trust you had a great time with your family. But it can focus our attention only on ourselves, only on our families. You know, what's on my Christmas list this year? What will we get for our children this Christmas season? What will be the big family purchase for our family this time around? And Jesus regularly reminded his disciples then and his disciples today, that the focus is not to be on ourselves, but the focus is to be on the forgotten ones of the world. And that's where the link to the Transnistrian orphans comes in. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Mark chapter 9. Where we're going to see this tension played out, and it's played out with the original disciples, and I think we'll each be able to easily relate to this tension as well. Jesus is teaching that the focus needs to be on others and not on ourselves. Yet the disciples, just like you and just like I would probably do, were often focusing on the wrong priority. Their focus was often on themselves. If you look at verse 33 of Mark chapter 9, it says, they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what were you arguing about on the road? And the NIV has helped us by putting that word arguing there. We really don't know that from the original that's used there. The New American Standard or the NET Bible translates it. Jesus asking, what were you discussing on the road? And so Jesus asked a question that's just a simple, normal question. You know, we all got together, what were you talking about? And that's the question that he asked them. But in the next verse says, but they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Now, Can you imagine hanging out with Jesus Christ? You know, the omnipotent one who knows every word before it's even on your tongue. And you talk about setting his disciples up. When he asked them, say, guys, what were you talking about? And they knew they'd been arguing about focusing on themselves. Who will be the greatest in the kingdom? Jesus clearly teaches then, rather than focusing on ourselves, and in this disciple's case, they were exalting themselves. Who will be the greatest? And Christ answers, we need to focus on others. And in this case, he's talking about living in peace. We're not going to get to verse 50, but if you look at verse 50, this is all one unit. It's an interesting passage, but he ends up by saying, and be at peace with each other. In other words, stop arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom and be at peace with one another. Don't focus on yourself, focus on others. And as Jesus Christ is explaining this unit to us, he says four amazing statements. And I want you to think about these four amazing statements as Christ teaches us to focus on the forgotten ones. Focus on the orphans who are often forgotten. And orphans in a forgotten nation, Transnistria, certainly fit in this category. Look at these four statements. Verse 35, sitting down, Jesus called on the 12 and said, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. He took a little child and had him stand among them, taking him in his arms. He said to them, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. Four statements I want to just show you real quickly here this morning. The first one, Jesus says, be last of all. Again, the NIV translates it, be the very last. I like the original where it says, be the last of all. You'll keep the focus off yourself and on others when you choose to take the last position. Now, that's not a real particularly popular thought as we've just come through Black Friday, you know, where people line up to be the first in line, to be the first ones to rush in, to be the first ones to get the special gift for this season, the hot ticket item, and to be the very first one. Now, I'm not keeping score here, but just, you know, be honest this morning. How many of you went shopping on Friday? Okay, now I'm not going to yell at you. Don't worry, okay? So, you know, just keep your hands up there for a minute. I'm just always amazed. Who in the world would want to eat a nice dinner with their family on Thursday and followed up by going shopping? But now I know who wants to do that. So I hope you had a great time out there. But, you know, your experience as you went shopping was probably not, why don't you go ahead of me, sir? Ma'am, why don't you take the next one? Oh, there's only one gift left? Well, here, why don't you take that gift? That probably wasn't the experience. Why? Because we tend to focus on ourselves. And Jesus says, we have to be focusing on others. That's a willingness to be the last position. Secondly, he says, and the servant of all. To be the last of all and to be the servant of all. The word servant that's used here is the Greek word diakonos. That's familiar to you. It's the word we get deacons. Deacons are helpers. Deacons are servants. In Acts chapter 6, you have the first deacons being put into place where the elders did not have enough time to spend time in prayer and teaching the Word of God because they were attending to all the needs of the people before them. And so they were told, select out, you know, individuals who can serve as deacons, as servants, as ones who will come along and help. Jesus says, if you want to be first, you're going to have to learn how to serve others. In other words, take the focus off yourself and put the focus on others. Now, let me ask another question about your Thanksgiving. How many of you were the chief cook this Thanksgiving? Raise your hand up. You know, you really are my heroes, the ones that cook. You know, this year it was kind of easy. My daughter, we were going to her house. She said to my wife, make a couple of pies. So she did. She said to me, bring some sparkling cider. So I did. That's it. You know, that's all we had to do. Normally on a Thanksgiving morning, my wife would be up early, 5 o'clock in the morning, putting the turkey in there, doing all those things and working like a servant all the way through to watch us in about 10 to 15, 20 minutes devour it all, you know, and then, you know, a couple hours later, we want some more leftovers. Jesus says, those of you who cooked the turkey and got up early in the morning and served all day long, you are the living illustration of what Jesus is saying. If you want to be first, we have to learn how to be the very last, and we have to learn how to be the servant of all. This is where your team comes in. This is what your team did in Transnistria. They bought their own plane ticket. That's being a servant. They took time off from work. That's being a servant. They endured the jet lag and served the entire day. And as soon as we get there, we don't say, you know, take 2 days off to get over the jet lag. We say, boom, here's the schedule. Go to bed, get some sleep. We're waking up, and we're off, and we're running the entire time. We would serve them breakfast, but they all served by cleaning up the breakfast dishes. Never once did I have to say, let's make a little schedule for cleaning up breakfast dishes, please. Or, you know, you've never done any of the breakfast dishes. Can you share? And no, your team just jumped in there, and they were servant to all. We had a little shuttle bus that would take the 17 of us around. Now, the problem was the bus had, what was it, 20 seats? And we often had more than 20 people on the bus. And so that meant some people would either have to stand in the aisle or sit on the floor of the aisle or take a little stool and put it in the aisle and sit on that. And we never once had to say, you know, it's your turn to sit on the stool. You know, it's your turn to sit in the aisle. People were willing to be a servant. It meant going out and spending time with the orphans and playing with the orphans. Now, I have to tell you, it wasn't hard to want to play with the orphans. You know, there was a delight to be able to hang with them. The hard thing was trying to get some work done while we were playing with the orphans, but it all worked out very, very well. Your team was a blessing to the staff, even though we didn't know Russian and they didn't know English. But you could see as the week progressed, the staff was becoming more and more endeared to us. I had the opportunity to meet up with a fellow who kept the heater going. And he was like a nobody guy who just was in the back boiler room that nobody knew about, nobody talked to. And I said, okay, that's my guy. You know, I'm going to befriend him. And I got to wash my hands every day with hot water because he would invite me back into the boiler room and wash up with hot water. I was about to ask him if he had a shower back there, but I didn't go there. Maybe next trip. But your team was a blessing to all the staff, and Phyllis mentioned that at the very end, you know, they put on this feast for us. And I tell you what, when we walked into this room, we had been in this orphanage all week long, and all we had seen all week long was a lack. But when we sat down to eat, it was a feast. I mean, there was so much food there, it made our Thanksgiving meals look small. I can remember sitting there going, do they really expect that we're going to eat and consume this much food? I don't know where the food came from, but I know the staff cooked it all for us, and the staff was there, and they were beaming as they had the opportunity to share with us. And I was just saying, thank you, Lord, you know, that we were able to serve them. Now, here in their way, they're just being a blessing and serving us. All of that is called serving. And Jesus says, look at it again in verse 35. If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. Then he gives us two more statements in the next couple of verses. He took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. The third statement that Christ makes here is this idea of welcoming a forgotten individual. Children in Christ's day were forgotten. They were really just something that came along and was able to help the family as they grew and they grew, but they really had no rights, and nothing was really set apart for them. You don't read much about children's actions in the Scripture. You read about how we're to treat children, but you don't hear much of the children doing things because they were the forgotten ones. And so Jesus' action of first gathering the disciples around him and then calling for one of the little children and taking this little child and says, in his arms. I take it that he hugged this little child. Jesus is saying, when you welcome a forgotten child, what's the text say? You welcome me. You welcome Jesus. This team that went, when you hugged the Transnistrian orphan, you were hugging Jesus. I have three grandsons. One's three, and the other two are smaller than that, younger than that. And I love holding my grandsons, and I love rocking my grandsons. And I love those moments just before they fall asleep and just when they wake up, when they're just staring into your eyes, and you're holding them there in your arms, and they are safe, they are secure, they are comfortable, and they are content. And that's what it means to welcome a forgotten one, to make them feel safe, to make them feel secure, to make them feel comfortable, to make them feel content. And when we hug and when we hold a forgotten one, we're hugging Jesus. And the text goes on to say, and not only Jesus, but when you welcome a forgotten one, you are welcoming God. It says that in verse 37. Now, this term welcome that's used here by Mark is only used three times in the New Testament. And all three times are here in the book of Mark. Mark uses them all. One is right in this passage. The other is in Mark chapter 6 and verse 11, where Jesus is instructing the disciples. And he says, if you go on out and you're not welcomed in a particular town, you're to do what? You're to shake the dust from off your sandals. That's right. And then in Mark chapter 10 and verse 15, Jesus says, you need to welcome the kingdom of God like a child. That's our word welcome that's used here. Technically, the word means to receive hospitality. It means to receive something into your family. It means when someone is speaking or teaching or instructing, you will receive what they have to say favorably. So I'm up here talking right now, and if you're receiving what I'm saying favorably, that's what this word welcome is. If you're sitting there with your arms clenched and your, you know, eyes closed and you're sort of nodding off saying, you know, when is this guy ever going to get done? You know, you're not welcoming what I'm saying. It has this idea of taking something on your own self, this idea of sustaining, this idea of enduring and bearing, the idea of continuing a relationship. That's in this word welcome that's used here. And Jesus says, when you welcome God, you do so as you remember and welcome a forgotten child. So Hope Church, when you sent a team and they remembered the forgotten orphans in a forgotten world, you welcomed God. And I commend you for that as a church. And team members, when you honored Pasha, the director, by giving her respect and serving her, even when we found out some of the things that were going on in the orphanage that we didn't really like, you welcomed God. And when you hugged those little orphans, you hugged Jesus. And when you donated your time and your money, and you choose to use your vacation time for others, you welcomed Jesus. And I commend you in that. Hope and CFC began a very good thing in Transnistria. And now we have the opportunity to continue to welcome Jesus by continuing our relationship with them, by sustaining them, by enduring with them. That's all tied into the word welcome. It's not just sort of a once and done opportunity, but it's the idea of a relationship. When someone adopts an orphan into their family, they don't say at Christmas and Thanksgiving, well, this is just for our family. You know, you need to just sit this one out. No, that's not what you do. You welcome them into your family, and you embrace them as family, and you say, this is for you, and you welcome them. That's the word that Jesus uses. People ask me all the time, why do I keep going back to Transnistria? And the answer is bound up in this word, welcome. And it's this idea of an ongoing, continuing relationship. And the word implies not a one-time visit, but an ongoing relationship. And for me, it helps me to keep the focus off myself and on others by serving those who are in great need. And when I choose to serve others, when I choose to be last, the miracle and the joy is that I actually get to hug Jesus. I actually get to welcome God into my life. And so the questions that I have for you this morning are really quite simple. Where is the focus of your life right now? Who are you hugging right now? Who are you welcoming right now? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for these verses of Jesus and this complex passage where he just has to stop and set things right with his disciples. And he knew that they had been arguing about who would be the greatest, and he knew that their focus was not on serving others, but their focus was on themselves. And Jesus sets things right, and he says, a disciple in November of 2010 is one who will be willing to be last, is one who was willing to serve all. And when we do that, we are hugging Jesus. God, we are hugging you. And Lord, we all want to be able to touch you in some way. We want to be connected to you in some way. And here it's spelled out as plain as the text in front of us. This is a way of connecting with the Almighty. This is a way of connecting with Jesus himself. This is how we show that we are disciples. By our willingness to be last, our willingness to serve, our willingness to welcome a forgotten child into our lives. And Lord, for the opportunity that we've had in this last trip to begin that relationship, I thank you. And Lord, for what you'll do in the future, we just don't know what the future holds. But Lord, as long as you give us openings, as long as you give me breath, my prayer is we can continue to reach out and sustain and nurture and do something. No one can do everything, but everyone, Lord, can be doing something. And so I thank you for the hugs that were given in the name of Jesus Christ by Hope Church and by Calvary Fellowship Church. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, I just present this church and our church to you and ask that you would use us in a great and powerful way in reaching and helping and blessing and nurturing and guiding and leading to faith these children. Lord, when I read that statistic, that 60% of these young gals could be caught up and taken away in human trafficking, it breaks my heart. When I see the pictures of these boys, and I remember how the guys that we were playing with, and as I was watching one day when they were throwing frisbees and throwing footballs, and then just the back of my mind thinking that 70% of these young boys more than likely would end up a life of a criminal, statistically speaking. Lord, help us by your grace, by your power, in your authority, in your name, to do something to turn that tide. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.